For those who still want to meditate, maybe you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we will continue with the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sattamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Itipiso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vichacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Sata Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi paseko obanayiko Pachatang veditatbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Yatidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pukala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anutarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. We shall now continue with our second session, which is our Diamond Sutta. We will continue from where we stop. We are at page 8, turn to page 8. Before that, we shall recite the verse for opening a sutta, the page before page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this one you have to bear in mind. The true Dhamma is very difficult to encounter. Now that you have the condition to encounter them, you should make full use of it. Okay, page 8. We are at the second last paragraph on Paramita. Yes. Oh, okay, I got. You can have come. You can come. Jennifer, yeah. This copy, you can have it. Yeah, sadhu. Turn to page 8. We are at the second last paragraph, Paramita. So here, Paramita, they have very deep meaning. Based on the commentaries by Shenhua, he said, some say it is as sweet as pineapple. Not only that, it is the sweetest of sweet. It is separation from suffering and attainment of bliss. Whenever a task is well done, the people of India say it is paramita. Just as we would say, it is finished. But paramita here means more than just finished. It means the task has been perfectly accomplished. That's why it is called a perfection. When you are cultivating the Sammasambuddha way to become a Sammasambuddha, there are 10 perfections that you have to perfect. They call it paramattas. Or paramitas. So paramitas are the perfections that one need to perfect. Perfect means perfectly accomplish in order for you to fulfill the cultivation of that particular perfection. So here the meaning perfectly accomplish is a more closer, appropriate term to define what paramita is. Paramita means arriving at the other shore. This is the other way of describing it. You describe enlightenment as arriving at the other shore, which is out of the stream. If you take a bridge or ferry from San Francisco to Auckland, your arrival in Auckland is paramita. Receiving a certificate of promotion from elementary school is paramita. Obtaining a higher school diploma is paramita. Acquiring a bachelor degree is paramita. A master degree, a doctorate are also paramita. At present, we are on the shore of birth and death. By passing through the sea of suffering, we arrive at the other shore, Nirvana, which is the cessation of form and mind. This is also called paramita. So these are the various ways people have used that word. Everything can be paramita. For example, a person takes up the practice of Dhyan meditation. The day that person opens enlightenment will be the day of paramitas. The Surangama Sutta lecture and cultivation session in the summer of 1968 was another example. The day it began was Disho. 160 days later was Maha Prajna Paramita. In general, any job done well and done completely is called paramita. Now we are all studying Buddha Dharma. In the beginning, it is difficult to understand. And so some people come to the lecture hall once and do not dare to return, fearing the extreme difficulties in practice. One first needs good roots, and then one needs patience. For those who remain to cultivate, come to realize that the Buddha Dhamma is the most important thing in the world. If I don't understand the Buddha Dhamma, it is as if I haven't eaten enough. I must hear the Sutta and listen to the Dhamma. It is more delicious than the finest food in the best restaurant. If listening to Sutta can be put in place of one's heart's delight, then when one has attentively listened to the entire sutta, that too is paramita. Pineapple. How to pronounce this? Polo. I thought polo is the polo. Polo koa. Oh, pineapple is called polo. 不是黄梨 都可以 oh, ok 菠萝果 and paramita 菠萝蜜 should be 菠萝蜜 parami is 菠萝蜜 contains the same characters 菠萝 mi means sweet thus the food the pun sweet as pineapple, polo meat, correct. So that is the reason why Mandarin is very cute. We have paramita, you translate as polo meat, or parami, we call it parami. If you have cultivated your virtue, your perfection, then you have a lot of parami. So parami become polo meat, pineapple sweet, Sutra. Sutra provide a road to travel in cultivation, going from the road of birth and death to the road of no birth and death. Actually, it should be transcending birth and death. The common person penetrates to sishhood, to Buddhahood. One who wishes to walk that road must rely on the Dhamma to cultivate. The Dhamma is in the Sutta. The word Dhamma has many meanings. It is called an emanation because it comes from the Buddha's mouth. So these are the various descriptions. Then just now earlier on, I want to discuss this. Xianhua said, those who remain to do or develop the cultivation, they will come to realize that the Buddha Dhamma is the most important thing in the world. If I don't understand the Buddha Dhamma, it is as if, he put here as, I haven't eaten enough. So the analogy is not so maybe effective or appropriate. If you are not cultivated or developed the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, it is as if I haven't what? Last Sunday, I gave a talk at HJBA. The title was Importance and Great Benefits of Cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. The meaning is the same. If you don't cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, what will happen to you? That's why I say it is important. Importance of cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. And if you do it, it brings about great benefits. So we have to actually improve on this sentence. Those who haven't cultivated the Buddha Dhamma, it is as if what? Not only you haven't eaten enough, you will have a lot of delusion. You will not understand life. You will develop a lot of heedlessness, leading to suffering in this world. So, without the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma, and without this Dhamma understanding, living being will become miserable. They will become afflicted. And the Buddha said, you will become heedless. And the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. So that's why it is very important that if you want to walk the spiritual path, you have to cultivate this Buddha Dhamma. Buddha Dhamma is the most precious thing in this universe. Without the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, especially the essence of his teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths, you can never understand life. And because you fail to understand life, you will never know how to live life. That's why life will be like very difficult to understand. And you will have to confront life. And when you confront them without the Buddha Dhamma understanding, you will become afflicted. You will become miserable. You will go through a lot of suffering. That's why the Buddha very clearly expounded the Four Noble Truths, especially the First Noble Truth. He said there is a Noble Truth that explains the suffering of all living beings. There are eight realities in life and existence. That each and every living being, if you live long enough, you will confront them. And what are the eight? The first four is what? Birth, old age, sickness and death. These are the four realities that living being will have to confront, irrespective of who you are, how powerful you are, how wealthy you are, how famous you are. You have to confront the same reality. And when you confront them, can you continue to be peaceful, happy, not to be affected by all these realities? Even birth, when there is complication. With birth come suffering, misery. Then with birth come old age, sickness and death. All this reality, when it strikes, if you don't have the requisite understanding born of cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, you are going to be afflicted. And the Buddha said, this is a noble truth that explains clearly to you what suffering is. When you confront them without understanding and wisdom, suffering will become very, very real. And living beings' delusion will condition them to be heedless. And when they become heedless, they will entangle themselves with the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. Then they will project their thought, create negativity and evil root. Through self-delusion, they will bring about their own suffering. That's why the Buddha, under the First Noble Truth final summary, very clearly define what suffering is. He said, in short, it is due to human delusion, self-delusion, that grasps and cling and hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind, which he called the upadana khandas, or five aggregates of grasping, that condition their suffering. When you don't have the right understanding to clearly see who you are, what you are, you will deludedly grasp and cling. That's how suffering arises. Then the Buddha said, as you move into life, you have to confront three more realities. Separation from loved ones and whatever wealth, possession that you believe you own. And all those things that you hold on to dearly could be your business, your career, your title. Whatever that you give meaning and hold on to dearly. Separation, once they happen, it can bring about a lot of misery, suffering, sorrow and lamentation. And suffering can arise in many ways, as we have witnessed. Yeah. Death of a loved one can lead to severe traumatic suffering. Or separation through relationship failure, through misunderstanding, through anger, jealousy, hatred. All this can bring about a lot of suffering. Then there is also forced separation. During crisis, during what they call nature's disasters, like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, highway collapse, and various type of accidents. So all this can bring about separation. And without wisdom, without understanding, it can be very traumatic. Even economic crisis, when you make a wrong call or decision in life, it can bring about total loss of ownership of very, very important property, wealth, and businesses. Yeah. Your entire wealth or possession, even your loved one, your property, your wealth, your business, they can be wiped off during a crisis when something happened. Yeah. So all these are part and parcel of life reality, the Buddha said. So without the understanding of the Buddha Dharma, life can be pretty difficult. And it can be pretty traumatic for most people to confront. Yeah. Then the next one is when you are with people whom you don't like. Yeah. So this one, you can witness them almost everywhere in life. Most of the time, you will have to confront very difficult people, especially in the career field, or even in the field of relationship. And sometimes in certain circumstances, when you are on the road, you meet up with road bullies and all those things, or gangsterism, or you are confronted with very harsh situation like snatch thief, robbery and all those things. So all these are people whom you may not like. Then there are also instances of child abuse, sexual harassment, and many other forms of what they call life situation that is due to people who are unreasonable, people whom you may not like to confront or be with. So life is such, you cannot avoid them when the karmic conditioning is such that these are the things that you have done to people. So in return, when condition arise, you become the victim. Yeah. Then the seventh one is when you are with people, when you are with people whom you don't like. The seventh one is when your expectations are not met, when you cannot get what you want. When you cannot develop the satisfaction of your expectation. You expect to be loved, but love is not forthcoming. You expect your loved ones to understand you. Even in the career field, you expect to be promoted, but it never comes. So expectation in life, when it's not met, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, it can be quite difficult to endure. So sometimes you have this very, very high expectation of achieving something or receiving something, but somehow it's not forthcoming, and it can lead to a lot of unhappiness. Yeah. So all these are the realities of life and existence. So if you convert them into what they call modern term, then we have different names for them. Yeah. Like old age, disease, sickness, we call them health problem. Yeah. Getting old problem, like Alzheimer's and all those things. And when you relate to modern terms and technology, then it becomes clearer. Then you have financial problem, career related problem, relationship problem, then social problem like police case, drugs and all those things. Yeah. Then you have a lot of other life related problems that can bring about a lot of very, very traumatic experiences. Yeah. Nowadays it's very common, you look around, even youngsters are not free from it. Suffering born of depression. They, for no reason, develop the fear, the stress. Then they couldn't cope. Then their thought project and create so much fear. They think and think and think until it becomes a cocoon of thought. And this is like a tape recorder, keep on ringing within their brain and memory. And this is the one that sets in the motion for depression to occur. And when the depression comes, the suffering is so severe, so intense, that it leads to insomnia and many other related problems. Then that thought becomes suicidal. That's why they give different names. Even scientists come to know, they call it by this symbol, OCD, O stand for what? Obsessive and compulsive disorder. The thought become very oppressive, or what? Obsessive, very obsessive. Then very compulsive and very intrusive, and it's a type of disorder, you know, because you think and think and think until it becomes like that, you know, until the thought becomes so powerful, you know. So these are the situations that the human mind has been tormented with, and suicidal tendency is so high because all those who went through depression, I can tell you, 99.999% tell you, suicidal thought is there, might as well die. I heard it from almost all of them. Yeah. Even from those who recover. Yeah. They will tell you, at that time, if not because of what and what and what, they would have actually wanted to commit suicide. Because that type of thought, suicidal thought, is so severe and so powerful. So without the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, which is the understanding of life, understanding of who we are, how we function as a human being, our thought process, life can be pretty difficult and traumatic. That's why we have to understand, if you don't cultivate the Buddha Dhamma understanding, it can bring about severe suffering, especially mental suffering. So this is the part that I want to share, so that you can develop the understanding to help others. You are in a way very blessed as Buddhists, because the Buddha Dharma is there for you to develop the understanding. And not everybody are so fortunate. Even many so-called Buddhists, they don't really understand the Buddha's teaching. And when the time comes, when they confront this reality, their Dhamma that they study or learn, because it's theoretical, they cannot apply. They themselves are caught. And they themselves are afflicted, miserable. There is so much fear, worry, anxiety. You can go and check around. Last time we used to hear from one of the, I think he was once the president of a Buddhist society. And when he was confronted with health problem, I tell you, he said all the Dhamma just disappear, and he couldn't cope. There was so much fear. That 1 week before the autopsy result came out, he said, it was like hell to him. When we visited him, he told us. So it's not easy. And he has been a president of one of the Buddhist society. Quite a prestigious one. Even he himself frankly said he couldn't cope. So it's not easy. So that's why you are indeed very blessed and very fortunate when you have the clear understanding, so that you can actually develop the understanding to confront them. It is not difficult if you truly understand the teaching, because the Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, has actually proclaimed the Buddha Dhamma in such a beautiful way that everything is clearly set out in his teaching. I call it the essential Dhammas. They are all spin-off from the Four Noble Truths. So the Buddha's Buddha Dhamma is so wonderful. It not only tells you what suffering is, it also explains to you the cause behind all this suffering, how they arise, born of what? Mainly, he said, Sakkayaditi, self-delusion. That condition you to grasp and cling and hold, believing that this so-called human being of 5 degrees of form and mind is what you are. So in short, he said, it is Sakkayaditi, that condition, delusion, human craving. That's the cause of suffering. So if you understand from his teaching what constitutes suffering and the cause behind suffering, you will be able to develop at least the initial intuitive clear understanding to cope with life. Because when you know what suffering is, you will have the awareness of what suffering is. Then you will look at the cause behind. Then retrospectively, you will know how to reverse suffering. That's why your life will improve. Your life will become better. It will take a turn. You will know how to manage your life much better. Knowing what suffering is. Jeep lah, come in. Oh, okay. Okay. Sadhu, you go ahead. No problem. Sadhu, no problem. When you understand what suffering is and the cause behind, you will know how to manage your life better. You will know how to reflect, contemplate, and develop better understanding, so that when you confront this reality again in future, you don't have to repeat your old habitual way of reacting and projecting your thought to develop all the fear, worry, anxiety that will make you miserable, that will lower your immune system and bring about depression, suffering, and all those things. You will know how to actually reverse it through understanding the third and fourth noble truth. Because the Buddha continued from there. He not only explained to you the reality of life and existence, what suffering is and the cause behind, he even tell you under the third noble truth. He said suffering need not be. The moment you develop the understanding of his teaching, and when you have that understanding, you don't have to suffer anymore. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. That's why he teaches the 5 daily contemplation to reflect and develop the initial understanding to clearly understand life, so that when you confront all this first noble truth reality, you don't have to become fearful like before. You can confront them with understanding, because you have reflected on them, contemplated on them, and you have understood the essential Dhamma of this 5 daily contemplation behind. Then if you have meditated, it would be an added advantage. That's why the fourth noble truth teach you how to develop the cultivation. He said all of suffering, they can come to an end. Because there is a noble truth that explained to you clearly that if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the wisdom and the understanding to put an end to all suffering. And noble eightfold path is very beautiful. All of his teaching is there, starting from right view with regards to law of karma, law of the mind, leading to the law of Dhamma. So law of karma, you already have developed the understanding. We have delved into it pretty deep. The other one is law of the mind. Law of the mind is about citta niyama. Citta niyama is the order of mind, how your mind functions, so that you understand who you are and what you are, and what is this so-called citta or mind all about. So the Buddha explained very clearly the dependent origination. He said, your mind functions this way, following this dependent origination of paticca samuppada law. He said, dependent on certain things arise. There is no soul or permanent unchanging entity behind or responsible for all this. They are all dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. And because of that, when you meditate and see them clearly, you will understand their impermanent characteristic. Because whatever that is condition arising is not a permanent unchanging entity. It will change according to the condition there and then. When condition cease to be, it will cease to be. When condition change and evolve, it will continue to change and evolve. So this reality will bring about profound understanding. That's why all of characteristics of nature within all phenomena, may it be physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they exhibit the same characteristic, because they are all condition arising within the conditioned world. All of causal phenomena, they behave this way. That's why you will penetrate with insight to see clearly, to awaken to their characteristics of impermanence. And because they are impermanent, they go the way of nature. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will arise. That's why impermanent will lead you to understand what suffering is all about. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, and you have this craving for it, suffering will be the result. And because it's impermanent, lead to suffering, it is delusion. That's why it is not right for you to believe that this can be me, this can be I, and all this are mine. Because whatever that is of the nature to change with the characteristics of impermanent and lead to suffering is not a permanent and changing entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp onto and say, this is I, this is me, and this all can be mine. Even you yourself, the five aggregate of form and mind, is condition arising, never you. If this one is never you, how can you own or possess anything? That's why it is foolishness, self-delusion, ignorance. If you cannot see this reality of form and mind, their characteristic, their condition arising, you will be trapped. You will be what they call condition into delusion, to grasp, to cling, and to hold, and that is the cause of suffering. So with this understanding, you will see the importance of cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. That's why we need to develop that clear understanding. So last Sunday's talk was very good. If you have not attended it, you can listen to the recording. Then the Q&A session, there's a lady from Singapore. The way she asked her question was very good. She said, Brother Teo, you have been explaining to us the importance of cultivating Buddha Dhamma, then the great benefits. Then after you cultivate it, you develop wisdom. Then you can liberate your mind, awaken. The question say, can you explain to us what wisdom is? Actually, it was a very, very tough question. Very few people can understand and give you the through explanation. But that day, she was very happy. And many of them were very surprised. The way I answered it, it was so clear. Even Brother Jim, you know him, the president of SJBA, he approached me, and after that he thanked me. He said, "Today I learned so much from your talk," he said. Especially the question on wisdom, the way you answer was fantastic, he said. So all this understanding are not easy to come by. Then you know who that lady is, the lady who asked the question. Actually, she just arrived the night before from Singapore. She was the lady that wrote me the email earlier on. Eric's sister, Sister Tsing Hua, I think. She came down because she saw on the WhatsApp the talk that Sui An prepared on. Then she came and purposely make a point to come and listen. And she was so happy. She said she will definitely force herself to come, is it? That's why she make it. She was there that morning. And she was so happy that she came. And there was so much joy. First time she met me, you know, and saw me delivering the talk live. She heard my recording before, but she has never met me. She read my books. Then they invited me to Singapore too. He got another friend, Sister Arlene, I think. They knew my son, because he's starting his MBA course in Singapore, INSET, sometime August, I think. So I told her I may travel to Singapore because of that. And they were so happy. They straight away create a WhatsApp and text me and say they were so happy, looking forward, and they want to invite me to give talk in Singapore. Yeah, one of her friend, Arlene, I think, she got contact with the Buddhist group there, in one of the Buddhist centers or temple. I said, "Sadhu," I rejoice. So I said, "We see how it goes." I said, "I also don't know what day I will be there, but very likely it's end of July or early August." So these are the conditions that actually arise, and it just happened. So if you have not heard that talk, you listen to it. It will help you a lot. That talk was a very good talk. Then when it comes to the great benefits, I think most of you will know. If you cultivate the Buddha Dharma, you will develop a lot of merits and blessings. And you will develop a lot of great benefits. Because when you start to understand the teaching, your life changes. Character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, then your mind can actually start to liberate from many, many of the usual suffering that constantly afflict you and living beings. Then not only that, after that you realize your life will improve, because through all your cultivation of the Buddha Dharma, you will cultivate almost all of the 10 meritorious actions, and you will develop clear understanding and wisdom to actually bring about great blessing to your life. Then you will develop the training of the mind to meditate. You will develop inner peace leading to inner well-being. The inner peace and inner well-being will bring about a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of peace, a lot of clarity within your mind. And you will experience true peace for the first time in your life, as apart from the agitated, heedless living. It will transform your mind from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of living. Then, because of the inner peace, inner well-being and clarity, you will be able to develop the wisdom and the understanding of life. You will have clarity to understand life. Your mind that is trained with the sati and samadhi will see things as they are and develop the appropriate wisdom to awaken then you will develop the right view. That's how you straighten your view. And these are all very wholesome and meritorious. They are all meritorious action. And when you straighten your view, you become different. You act differently. You understand life differently. That's why right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the right for right effort to constantly purify and improve yourself. This becomes the foundation for Buddha Dharma practices and cultivation. And this is the source of happiness. That's why keeping precept, developing virtue, avoiding evil, doing good, and developing wisdom, they form the basis of Buddha Dharma cultivation. And even precept alone is the source of great happiness, source of great spiritual wealth, leading to source of peacefulness. And these are the great benefits that you will develop through cultivating the Buddha Dharma. That's why do not be heedless anymore. Strive on with heedfulness to constantly cultivate the Buddha Dharma, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. Things that are fit for attention, pay attention. Do not allow your thought to be heedless anymore. Do not allow the heedless thinking to project your thought to develop all the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Do not allow your heedless thought to constantly recall the unhappy moments of your life, the scars of memory. Because whatever you reflect, contemplate, or give meaning, it will condition the emotion. When you think of unhappy thought, unhappy emotion will arise, fear will arise, anxiety will arise, then sorrow and lamentation will arise. So all these are wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, leading to intense suffering. This is how human beings actually get into trouble. This is how suffering becomes a reality when there is lack of understanding of the Buddha Dharma, the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha's teaching is very simple. He explained to you clearly all of the laws that govern life and existence, the five panchaniyamas, with special emphasis on the three spiritual laws of karma, law of the mind, citta niyama, and the last one is law of truth, dhamma niyama. So these are something that you need to constantly reflect upon, remind yourself as a human being what is appropriate, what is not appropriate. So strive on with heedfulness so that you do not waste your precious life while you are here in this world, when the Buddha Sasana is still around, when there are still great opportunity to cultivate and to develop the appropriate understanding and wisdom to liberate your mind, to bring about great transformation in your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, so that you can really become a beautiful living being, so that you can develop all the noble qualities of a noble one, so that life can become meaningful, so that you can experience and live life to the fullest, so that you can be a blessing to all of humanity and nature. So these are the great possibility of cultivating the Buddha Dharma to develop the wisdom so that you can live this type of life. And this is not difficult, not impossible. It is within the reach of many of you because you have the condition, you have the parami. And it is about time that we give more meaning to life. You develop the what they call faith in the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha, then determine to strive on with heedfulness, to cultivate this way, to penetrate the Dhamma, so that you can really, really understand them clearly, so that you can move on with life, so that you can establish a great foundation for all your future coming, should you need to come or have to come in whatever form. So all these are very, very important and very critical to each and every one of you's life. So with this, we can continue. You got any question regarding the importance of cultivating Buddha Dhamma? Xuanhua put it as understanding the Buddha Dhamma. You got any questions so far? Otherwise, we will move on. Anybody? Any question? Don't have, Oh, good. We move on. So turn to page 10. Sutra is also called a bright revelation because it can illuminate the world with its light. So all these are skillful ways of defining sutra or sutta in Pali, of the Theravada tradition. So the first meaning is, just now we have gone through, it is called an emanation because it comes from the Buddha's mouth. That's why it can bring about enlightenment, emanation. Then sutta is also a bright revelation. It reveals to you the truth because it can illuminate the whole world with its light. Means it can help to overcome ignorance or darkness. Sutra is also called a constant because it is a method which never changes. Whether in the past or in the present, the sutra remains the same. Not one word can be taken out, not one added. It neither increases nor decreases. That is the power of sutta, the words of the Buddha. Even the Dhammapada verse, they are evergreen, applicable at all times. Actually, such wisdom is very rare to come by. The fourth meaning is, the sutras string together, like beads on a string. The principle of Buddha Dhamma are linked together in the lines of the sutra from beginning to end. So they are actually one complete jigsaw puzzle, connected to each other. That's why to understand Buddha Dhamma, you need one skill. What is it? To connect and link up all the essential Dhamma. Understand? When you cannot understand the essential Dhamma, you cannot connect them and link them together. They are actually one piece. They come from the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths. From there is spring off, spin off. And everything within the Four Noble Truths contains the essential Dhamma. So the skill to connect and link is the real Dhamma understanding. If you think every essential Dhamma that the Buddha teaches is all separate parts, separate Dhamma, then you don't understand his teaching. Actually, his teaching, they are all interrelated, connected. The essence of it is just the Four Noble Truth. All of his understanding summarized there. That's why I call it the secret of life. The Four Noble Truth. All of the mundane and the supramundane, because they tell you about the conditioned world, suffering, the cause of arising suffering. Then they also tell you about the possibility of enlightenment and how it can be realized and how you can live the life of the enlightened one, which is the supramundane aspect of life. And if you look at the Four Noble Truths, you realize every teaching is within there. All of the other essential Dhamma, Dhammapada, words, one or whatever, they are all within the Four Noble Truths. Even the right view alone actually already link and connect everything. That's why without right view, the first power factor, you cannot move. Right view will condition the right thought, appropriate right thought, then right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort to constantly purify your thought process, your unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, action, and livelihood. Then to abandon those that have arisen, prevent them from arising. Then cultivate the wholesome thought, action, and speech that you have not developed. Then refine upon them, perfect upon them. All this forerunner effort will actually bring about tremendous change in your personality and character and your thought process. That's why the initial wisdom will be established, clearly established. Then after the forerunner effort, you move into right mindfulness. It's about the silent mind, no more effort, no more thought. That is the higher meditation, the penetrative awakening and understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. And this is how you develop clear understanding. So we move on to the fifth meaning. The sutra attracts living beings in the same way that a magnet draws iron filing. Living beings drawn to the sutra come to have a thorough understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. You understand what is a magnet and iron filing, huh? You have seen the experiment before, right? During your early days in school, huh? Especially Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, I think. They got this magnet for you to play. The iron filing, when they are attracted to the magnet, what happened? They will hold on to the magnet. It's just like he said, the sutta is like living beings, attracted to the iron, to the sutra. So you are like iron falling. All this that the magnet draw. If you like sutra, like to listen to the Dhamma, then you are like the iron falling, magnet draw you. Then you stay there. That's why you will develop a lot of understanding of the sutra. That is how they develop the analogy. Is a living being drawn to the sutra come to have a thorough understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, because living being in the same way that a magnet draw from iron falling, they get attracted to the sutra. So if you have karmic affinity and conditioning to actually come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma, then if you have taken refuge, you will be drawn to the Dhamma. That's why taking our refuge, Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, is very important. When you have determined through understanding to take refuge, you are like iron falling, waiting to be drawn by the magnet. Wherever there is any condition when you arise, because of your refuge, you will be attracted to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. You will have that condition to come into contact with them, and you will know how to go and listen, and you will know how to develop the understanding of it. That's why taking refuge is very important. Opening puja, always chant. After salutation, Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. So all these are very important advice and teaching. So now you start to understand the whole of the practice. Why in the puja you have to renew your refuge. Not only one time, two times, three times, you have to take refuge. For the first time, I go to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha for refuge. So the second time, I go to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha for refuge. Then for the third time, that's why every time you do it three times. So all this will develop the faith, the sadha, virya. Then it will pave the way for you to receive them. Because only within the Triple Gem, there is the teaching. Outside the Triple Gem, you can never find the teaching. Even though truth is everywhere. That's why Triple Gem is very important. Then number six. The sixth meaning is, the sutta is a method of cultivation held in veneration by living beings in the past, present, and future. So the word matter, you observe one very peculiar thing that Xuan Hua put or not? Inverted comma. You know why he put inverted comma? Anybody want to explain? Huh? Why did he put inverted comma? Huh? Why he put inverted comma? Huh? What is a method? What is a technique? Huh? What is it? Yeah, louder. Oh, very good. Who was it that answered rigid? Huh? Wow, very good. Huh? Oh, no wonder. Well, lying down there also so sharp. Yeah, rigidity is correct. Because method and technique are a series of instructions to do certain things rigidly. The sutta is not rigid. It's like a finger pointing to the truth, but it's not rigid. It explains to you clearly the Dhamma within, the truth within. And truth is not rigid knowledge. That's why he used the word inverted comma. All those who understand, they will do that. Very good. Sadhu. Number 7. Sutra is also about bubbling spring. The principle flow from the sutra like water from a bubbling spring, which moisten the entire earth, causes all living beings to be filled with joy of Dhamma and to obtain the delight, Dhyan food. The complete title of the sutta is the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. So this is the diamond sutta of perfection of wisdom. So these are very meaningful. Bubbling spring in Mandarin is called what? I think it's very meaningful. Bubbling? Oh. 是啊. Oh, 涌泉啊. Oh, 你有那个中文字啊? 哇, 好啊, 怪不得你这么厉害, Because, you see, bubbling means what? Like bubble, Actually, the what they call this type of like hot spring, There is a what they call normally got sulfur on it inside. Yeah? That one is hot spring, got sulfur. Then the bubbling means there is a gas within, understand? That's why it bubble, then it come out. Then it's like it can actually brings about recovery from good health, from disease or whatever. Especially those who got your leg, you got those problems. They say you go there, actually you can cure skin problem, you can get it cured. Then when you breathe around there, the air is very healthy, very fresh. Well, when I went to Japan, I actually experienced it. I went to Hakone, Mount Fuji. And you know Mount Fuji, when you go up, there's a lot of hot spring. Then all the hotel that you stay around, they actually pipe the hot spring water down. And it's really, really wonderful because they have this spa where you can go in. But in Japan, you know, the culture is you take off everything. Then you actually is They don't separate you. Certain hotel they may separate, but the one I went in, that one didn't separate you. So everybody, it to them is very normal and nothing. Then the hot spring, the water come in, it's actually quite hot, 40 degrees. Not so hot. And our temperature is not the one that is natural. Theirs is natural one, that type of temperature, just they let it circulate on. Then when you go in, initially like really burning. But I learn very fast because I know if I go in, I silent and I don't move. My body temperature 98.4 will actually create that temperature with the layer of hot spring water. No? Then I don't feel hot one. No? I can stay there. But the moment I move, I can feel the hot water already. Yeah. So that's why there is a skill. You go in, you just initially endure, then you sit down and you're just silent. Oh, I tell you, the meditation there was fantastic. Oh, beautiful. Wow, you settle down so fast, and your paws all, I don't know what they do to the paws. No. At that temperature, it's just beautiful. Then it maintained there. No. Not like you meditate in the open. The wind blow cold. Then when the wind doesn't blow, stuffy. Oh, that one don't have. That one very, very soothing, very beautiful. And the air was so fresh. Because the temperature up there was cooling. I think when I was there, it was about 14 degrees Celsius, aircon temperature. 14, 12, at night go down to 6. When you go into this hot spring, oh, I tell you, it was really nice. Then after that, I came out, then I had my bath. Then they told me there's another place. This one very cold one, like ice water like that one. Oh, a chill one. Oh, that one, I just dip my leg inside. After that, I say, enough. But I saw the Japanese went in. Whole body immersion. That one must be somebody who already skillful, trained. I never go into a cold one before. It's actually almost like ice water, so cold. But they like it. They say after the hot, you go down to the cold. I don't know, I dare not try. Just to me, when I put my leg in, I know it like stop all the flow. All the chi, everything stop. Oh, I don't want to hibernate there. I straight away took it out. But the bubbling thing is a very good Dhamma analogy, yeah? Because when they proclaim the Dhamma, it actually, like what they describe here, the principle flows from the sutta, like water from a bubbling spring, which moistens the entire earth, causing all living beings to be filled with joy of Dhamma. You really have that joy. Yeah? And to obtain the delightful dhyan food. So when you listen to Dhamma, it's just like I described to you just now. You go to the hot spring. You know how to go into that spa. You really like to stay there and meditate. And oh, it's so beautiful. So when you listen to Dhamma, especially this sutta that has the profound deep meaning, that can develop prajna paramita, perfection of wisdom, there is so much joy within. That's why you will receive this Dhamma, joy of Dhamma, and obtain the delight of dhyan food. Dhyan means stillness, samadhi. Here, dhyan doesn't mean jhana, no. Here, dhyan means, it's just like in Japan they call zazen. Zazen. Or chan. So it is dhyan. You are in a state of zen, state of meditative state. The mind is very still, very silent, but fully aware. Not in absorption, not in samatha, not that type of mind. This one is a silent, still mind, born of wisdom, born of stability or understanding. Very still, very silent, no movement. Not in concentration. Not in samatha. That is the real dhyan. So now with that, we complete our chapter. Not even one chapter yet. There is only one introduction. Oh, the title only. Oh, now translator. Okay, you got any question before we move on to the translator? Anybody got any question? Or you want to discuss anything? The mic is here. You all should actually make it into a lively discussion so that you can really feel the Dhamma coming. So far, can understand. I think this initial chapter is quite easy, not really a problem. No question. Wow, all understood. Okay, if no question, then we go on. The translator. Translated by Tipitaka Master, Dhamma Master Kumarajiva during the Yao Qing Dynasty. Yao Qing Dynasty. Actually, I haven't heard of this dynasty. Oh, Qing Chao, Qing Dynasty. Qing Shi Wang the Qing. Oh, Shi Wang Di. Qing Shi Wang, Yao Qing. Oh, okay. So, in the Yao Qing period, Tipitaka Master Kumarajiva translated the sutta, giving it the title Vajrapajnaparamita Sutta. In later time, the sutta came to be translated by five other Dhamma Master. Dhamma Master Bohiruchi, translated it in the Yuan Wei period and used the same title as Kumarajiva. Dhamma Master Paramatta translated the sutta in the later Chen Dynasty, also under the same title. Then in the Sui Dynasty, Dhamma Master Upagupta translated the sutta under a different title. He added the word cutting, calling it Cutting Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. Wow, all these are from India, one. You look at the name, all sound very Pali type. Afghanistan. Oh, they came in from. Oh, not from India. Oh, from Afghanistan. Oh, okay. Then in the Tang Dynasty, Tang Chao, during the 19th century, year of the Ruin period, Zhen Guan, Dhamma Master Xuan Zhang, Tang San Zhang, translated the sutta, reversing Upagupta's title slightly and calling it the Vajra, which can cut Prajna Paramita Sutta. Dhamma Master Xuan Zhang was a great virtuous high monk who walked from China to India via Siberia in order to study the sutta. After studying for 14 years, he returned to China to translate the work which he had collected. Then Dhamma Master Yi Jing also studied in India and returned to China during the reign of Empress Wu Zetian. She is a very famous empress. Wu Zetian. Wu Zetian. Wu Zetian. Wu Zetian. Who make great display of her patronage of Buddhism and commissioned Dhamma Master Yi Jing to translate sutta. His translation of the sutta bore the same title as Dhamma Master Xuan Zhang. Of those six translations, Dhamma Master Kumarajiva is considered the finest. It was Vinyanang Master Tao Xuan, who discovered the reason Master Kumarajiva's translation are the ones people most like to read and recite. Vinaya Master Tao Xuan especially cultivated the precepts and rules. In the four great deportations, the four posture, walking, standing, sitting and lying down, he was extremely proper, as is said in the Surangama Sutta. he rigorously regulated his demeanor out of stern respect for the pure Dhamma. Such deportation, or the four posture, commands the respect of ghosts and spirit as well as that of man and God. Vijnana Master Ocean are a model for all to follow. See, the four great deportation refers to walking, standing, sitting, and lying down. See, great Dhamma Master also pay so much attention. No? You all never pay attention to your four posture. Sakyamuni Buddha tell you after Anapanasati you must do that. You know, but how many people really do that? To them, they think it's kindergarten style. Yeah, mindful of the four posture, nothing. Actually, you have to start from there. If four posture also you cannot be mindful, how are you going to do the daily mindfulness? Understand? Split second, your mind is gone. You are hardly mindful of what is going on. That's why the four posture actually slow down your thinking. Immediately develop the condition for you to be attentive to all this posture. And all this posture are very important because you maintain attention of your mind within that form. That's why you are silent. You don't think. Slow down your thought, not your action. Otherwise you think a lot. You don't believe me, you check. Throughout the day you think a lot. The thought proliferate like anything. And most of the time, human beings are never even aware of what is going on, not to say four posture. You're hardly aware. Not until you start to cultivate. That's why now, in fact, I have a lot of joy with a lot of Dhamma friends now. They are more mindful, much, much more mindful. They are aware of many, many things now. Not like before. Before, I know, all talk only, heedless like anything. Now, most of them are mine. And a lot of them can do lying down meditation. This year, last year already got improvement. This year, a lot of them actually stabilize it and move very fast. That's why your daily mindfulness, I tell you, that is the real meditation. You cannot be mindful in your daily life. Forget about meditation. I tell you, you're wasting your time actually. You can experience all the calmness, the peace, and the wonderful retreat and all things. But when you come out of it, you cannot develop the ability to maintain that heedfulness throughout the day. You are not really meditating yet. Because the real meditation is sati sampajana. Daily mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. And that is the real Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. You can't even develop the stability of daily mindfulness. You cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Because Noble Eightfold Path is life itself. And when you are in the midst of life, your six sense doors, they are fully operational. They are all active in life. And without mindfulness, you cannot cope. You cannot understand what is going on. You cannot even be with the moment to understand what is going on. Then how are you going to be heedful? How are you going to cultivate? No way. That's why daily mindfulness is the real meditation, nothing else. That's why Zen master also same. You think they always see. See? This is a guy who translated the sutta. No? And he hold on to this four great deportation, no? Means four posture. Okay, we go on. That does not mean like a gale which tears or tears down mountain, not tears, tears down mountain, uproot tree and blow old houses. It means like a gentle breeze, see, not like kung fu, very hard stun. This one, the four, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you observe. Yeah. No, we have seen it on the video too. Maybe I don't know when you see the time you see with a different type of seeing. I saw it's normal, mindful, yes. but normal. That's what you think. That's what you think. You go and check. It's not floating. But when there is mindfulness, you will know. Because the mind is very quiet already. And when she talk, you know. The mind is very quiet. Silent. That's why when he deliver the Dhamma, sometimes in Hokkien, the Taiwanese style Hokkien, you see the Dhamma come out very beautiful one. It's from the nature. It's very beautiful. And all this come from her parami. After she cultivate, then she connect. Initially when she started also, a lot of things she doesn't know. Then she persevere. And she just did it. And because of her parami, everything just fall into place. That's why Yin Sun accepted her. Actually, Yin Sun don't take in lady disciple. I think she was the only one, if I'm not wrong. And that was because Yin Sun understand condition. Well, the condition was that Yin Sun was staying there. And I saw the Vesak Day presentation, how she actually got the condition to actually met up with Yin Sun and got him to give a letter. Otherwise, she cannot renounce. No. She need the support letter from a Zen master. And then Yin Sun actually gave it to her. And because that time there were conditions, Yin Sun was so happy to stay there. No. The first time she went there, I think, she didn't meet him. No. But she determined to go back a second time. The second time, he met him. Then because of the condition, Yin Sun knew. That's why Yin Sun talked to her and agreed to help and sponsor that thing. Then later on, take her in as a disciple. And he has such gratitude towards the teacher. He remembered the few words that Yin Sun gave to her. I think two sentences only. One is devote to the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma. The other one is to help humanity and propagate the Dhamma. Something like that. And she just stick on to that with a lot of gratitude and just do her part. Then everything fall into place. That's why Yin Sun was very proud of her. And she did so well after that. So all these great teachers, they have their understanding and they know how to cultivate. And it's always about meditation related to life itself. That's why Suji is about compassion in action. You go down to the ground. You realize her teaching also, she seldom emphasized on meditation. A lot of fa hui, a lot of action in daily life. Means compassion in action. You have to do a lot of things. And everything is Dhamma. He wants the disciple to go into the field, develop this compassion, and do. Do until you understand what compassion is. Means compassion has become a part of you. Then you will understand the teaching very quickly. Her one is the other way around. When you go and do, when everybody have that faith, then when they do with sincerity and understanding, then the true compassion will come out. Then because of what you do, the parami, because he used a lot of jing shi to actually help you to reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding to change your character, your personality, and develop this good mind to help people. Don't think of only yourself, think of others. Then express gratitude, kanan. Every time, kanan. Even he come and help you, you know, he say, kanan, for giving me the condition to help you. Without you, I cannot do all this wholesomeness. So the Malay at first couldn't understand. You come and offer us so much help and give us so much thing and you say gratitude towards me. They cannot understand. He say, because you gave us the condition to perform all this. That's why kanan, gratitude. And gratitude is a very wholesome mind state. It is a great virtue to cultivate. When you have gratitude, you are very, very beautiful. You not only think of others, you actually have this gratitude to thank people for whatever condition they give to you for you to cultivate and practice anasa, to develop all this wholesomeness. That's why it's all the other way around. No more self. Everything is about helping people, developing the gratitude to do what you are told to do. Means compassion in action, relief suffering. That's why 慈济, you know the meaning, 慈 come from 慈悲, compassion. 济 is 救济, nature's disaster or whatever. So compassion in action to help people who are in the midst of suffering, going through nature's disaster like flood, earthquake, war and all those things. So it is not a religious organization, understand? It is a society that help out in compassion to relieve suffering. That's why it cut across all religion. You can be a Christian and join Chuji. You don't have to become a Buddhist to be a Chuji member. That's why it can be set up all over the world, Indonesia and all the Western countries. So this type of what they call spiritual practitioner, they come in a different way. That's why all the four great traditions of Buddhism, especially the one in Taiwan we visited a few years back, they are all very beautiful. You combine them all, perfect. It becomes the complete Buddha Dhamma. Because you go Fakusana, the emphasis is on meditation. Fakusan, wisdom, number one on meditation. Then you want to learn compassion in action, you go Suji. Then you want to study the Buddha Dhamma, you go to Four Quang San. They are famous for what they call Dhamma studies. Four Quang. Then the other one is Zhongtai. Zhongtai. So all these four traditions, I realize they are so beautiful. So when you start to develop the understanding, then you come to understand that's why different beings, when they come, they play different role. For me, I just want to impart understanding, because to me, the most important thing is understanding. When you receive understanding, you will transform. Then you can do any of these things that they do. You become complete. But without understanding, it's very difficult to do all this type of thing. Unless you are willing to be like them. Go all out. Start from rank and file. Then go and help and do. Then slowly, slowly listen to the teacher. Then slowly, slowly go and develop your own meditation and develop your own understanding. It will take you a long time to do all those things. But you focus on cultivation, develop the understanding, the penetrative understanding, then when you go to any of this, you will understand what they do. And you can fit in very easily. And you can become very, very good among them very fast. You don't have to waste all those time. Where you do with understanding. So that's why, for my nature, this life it comes is very simple. To share the true understanding. Zhenfa. Where this is something that is very difficult to come by now. And very few people, very few beings can deliver this type of sharing. So everyone that come, they have a role. So this one, when it come in future, all the transcript, especially the Heart Sutta transcript, I tell you, it will become very, very useful. Then when people penetrate with that, they will move very fast. That's why the consciousness has started to move and is moving pretty fast. So in years to come, I think the world will be different. So all this, you can feel them coming. And it's getting stronger and stronger by the months. Actually, it started last year. That's why I predicted, you remember? I told you all I can feel. The Dhamma will flourish among Kayanamita. And really, it happened last year. Then, this year, it's not only flourish, you know, it will be accelerated. Yeah? And many of you all will actually develop understanding very fast without you knowing. Yeah? Because the consciousness is different. Yeah? Then, we started off this year with what? The Bodhisattva way. Yeah? That's why it's going to be very different. Then, all of the sutta that they choose, like our this Diamond Sutta is from Huirong, nobody will ever ask for this sutta one. Then Wu Ping Ching Sutta also, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Then at Sumero, even that 2 day, one night retreat, it has so much impact on those who attended. So even just now that Jayanta, you all call him Meng. He brought the mother. JJ, is a doctor, Dr. Jayanta. He heard of me but never met me until Sumeru retreat. After Sumeru retreat, he came to Tuesday class, he went to Thursday class, non-stop. And I can see him with so much joy when he came. He was listening so attentively. That's why after that he got so much joy. Then he brought the mother, then he brought the other lady. The mother, also English educated, also had a lot of joy. For the first time, they heard this style of Dhamma is so different. So, a lot of things is happening. And I realize new people can understand the Dhamma very much faster now. We are clean slate. Little conditioning inside there. And even the talk, the Sunday talk at AJB. I brought along about 30 over of these books. I put on the table. I said, after the talk, you are interested, you all can collect. The moment I finished the talk, I went to the side and talked to somebody, the Singaporean girl singer. By the time I say you can collect one copy, I look at the table, all gone already. And many came and talked to me. One of them was depression because of work problem. Is it relative? Just how you mentioned, management by fear and harassment is going through that. Is it that when she talked to me, she was full of fear. I say, yeah, I can sense it. You got a lot of fear. You work with one of the bank, I think OCBC, 10 years already. Suddenly, the HR put so much stress and fear in her, and pressure, and force her to sign one very, very unfair letter. Until she don't know what to do. She got so much fear of losing that job. Then the question is the thought project. How am I going to get another job like that one? We have worked for the bank for 10 over years already. And suddenly, HR gave her ultimatum and asked her to sign that letter. You cannot perform and deliver this so-called assignment or what. You willingly will resign. Go like that one. Yeah, bank can do like that one. He don't want to sack you and pay retrenchment. We are 10 years service. He want you to voluntarily resign. I say you don't worry. Whatever they say, you must not panic. There must be no fear. Have faith in yourself. And just do the best. Speak the truth. End of the day, they cannot do anything to you. Worst case scenario is, they dismiss you. But there must be valid reason. And they have to compensate you. Because as long as you don't like, what I asked her was, did you attend office late? Did you take a lot of MC and do all those things? He said, no. All this I don't do one. And then you don't have to worry. You have tried your best. They actually appoint you based on what? Based on your qualification and whatever. Then they put you on probation. Then they confirm you. And once they confirm you, if you have not violated any of the things that were trigger of dismissal, they cannot actually remove you unreasonably. And you go to industrial court, you will win one. they will favor the staff one. And industrial court is the best, no? I have seen many cases, no? Even Sui An also confirmed. Last time his office also got one case like that. Finally won the case. Yeah. They had to compensate this person. Because if they ask you to leave, then you file a complaint to industrial court. At the day, they actually terminate you. If you win the case, they have to pay you back all the back pay, assume you work, no? Including interest, no? Until the day of judgment, no? Or payment. Yeah. And all this, many people have got it already. Then I say, immediately after they ask you to terminate, you don't argue with them. You just go and talk to a good lawyer who understands this. Ask them to help you to file for a claim under industrial court for unlawful dismissal. Then you apply for a job. Lower salary also, never mind. Whatever job you get, all this salary, your last drawn until the day, judgment and payment, you will receive them all. You don't have to worry. We have many cases already. They will lose. As long... But I say, if you sign that paper, then I'm not sure. Because they will use that paper against you. Where you agree. Means you admit to your inability to perform. So I say, you don't worry. As long as you have tried your best, I say, you just have confidence in yourself. Then I say, you need to talk to the HR. You talk to the HR. I say, don't worry. You say, I want to know who did the appraisal. You have the right to talk to the person who made the appraisal one, and what has he written on my appraisal. Actually now, most firm, they will show you the appraisal form or not. The person who did the appraisal in front of you will show it to you. You agree or not? You don't agree? Even immediate superior like my son told me, in front of him one. Then you don't agree, you got the right to actually put in your whatever. So now it's no more like last time. You don't know who put the black mark on you, the appraiser. Then whether you got promotion or you got no promotion. Then the appraiser is very thorough. I saw my son do for all the other people also. Very thorough. He said, sometimes I got to waste whole day looking into all this. You cannot simply put in a negative appraisal for staff, not appropriate. But you can also, you cannot also simply give good appraisal to all staff who are not performing as you got to be fair to both sides. That's why you talk to them, you got weakness or what, you talk to them. Then I told this girl, I say, you talk to the HR, I say, you want to meet the person who need the appraisal. Then you cannot just pick on me because I have this weakness. Because every staff got his strength and weakness, understand? So if he has tried the best, is a confirmed staff, then you should check what other field he is good at. Then you assign him to another field where he's good at, understand? You have the right to ask for transfer. You say, I cannot work with this superior or this boss, but his character is different, not compatible with mine. And he likes to put pressure on me to do things that I'm not strong in. You can actually put up whatever. Then after listening, she felt better. Otherwise, you can see so much fear in her. Then later on, I think Sui An took her contact or don't know what. Then I say, why not you attend Thursday class? Because this one slowly, when you understand, you develop the faith and the confidence, then you become different. Otherwise, now with so much fear, you go back to office, this habitual tendency will come back on. You will develop the fear again on. Because she, like, you can see the fear is gripping her. No? I can see in her face. She straight away approached me after the talk. He said, what you say is very true. He said, I'm now going through this. I say, yeah, I can see the fear in you so strong. Oh, sorry. We have to stop. So we are at page 13. So you go back and read the rest so that we can continue. Next Tuesday don't have. Got class or not? Next Tuesday. Don't have. We are going. I'm traveling. I am traveling to Alastair then I go Hap Yai, then I come back, then I go Macau, then I come back on the 10th. So next Tuesday, no class. The whole week I will be away until Saturday only I come back, Friday or Saturday. So make a note. I remember. Yeah. Hari Raya. No, you haven't WhatsApp. They don't know. Only I know. Yeah, Hari Raya, she wants to have it at her house, which is very good. No, you send out through the WhatsApp first, Yin-chan. Then I think there will be people who will turn up on. No, you make a decision, then people will fit in. You. Yeah, no more posa, ma. Otherwise, they got buka posa some more. But 17 is a Thursday, Friday is okay. We are Thursday is a class. We got a class on Thursday class. No. 18 Friday is okay. 17 Friday is okay. Friday better. I think Saturday a lot of people may be having their dinner or go out station. 17 will be better. Okay. Yeah. You send it out, Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits, with all the devas. And then we will continue with the rest. Okay, recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then with the faith, we shall now share and transfer all these merits to all beings. Sharing of merits to the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, invoking the blessing for our nation. Devo asatakalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the blessed ones.